It's podcast time on XFM, the breakfast show, best bits are in. Lots of chat and interviews and less bits with Matt Dyson. Breakfast XFM, it's Danny with Specs on XFM.
It's Danny.
It's Breakfast XFM.
It's Danny.
Yes, we are XFM.
Danny Wallace.
Hello there, welcome to podcast number 35 from the XFM Breakfast Show with me, Danny Wallace. Coming up on today's podcast, we pitch your ideas to David Tennant.
Oh my God, this is some sort of dream come true.
That's right, we do the same with Dexter Fletcher.
I'm shaking, this is amazing.
Try and keep calm. We'll play Quizliz.
Oh, wow.
We go into quite a lot of detail about proofreading.
Oh.
We get your good news.
Oh, I can't believe it. This is just the most amazing thing ever.
And James Cameron reveals the one thing that science can't prove.
This can't be real.
I'm a podcast. Eat me up.
Yes, we are XFM. Danny Wallace.
Controversy in the XFM office this morning, Matthew. You were up here already. Me and Dave were downstairs, and I decided, as is a daily tradition, to make David a coffee. Yeah? So I go to the fridge, and there's only soya milk, right? There's that weird soya milk. And it's like a lot of sediment in it. I don't even know if it's supposed to be that way, that sort of soy milk, where you can hear stuff rattling about. It's like a maracas or something. And so I say to Dave, there's no milk. You know, do you want this soya milk stuff, or do you want it black? And what did you say?
I said there should definitely be milk, Danny, because I brought some down from upstairs literally 2 seconds ago.
He brought some milk down from me. He'd selflessly gone upstairs to the milk supplies and brought down a single bottle so that we could enjoy a cup of coffee. I went to the fridge, it wasn't there. We worked it out, didn't we? We know who it was.
Yeah.
It was my nemesis. It was my nemesis. It was my workplace rival.
Oh.
It was Mark Forrest. Who presents the Breakfast Show on Classic FM.
Oh.
Now, he had walked in there. Now, they're quite cultured there, and I was thinking it couldn't be him. It couldn't be, you know? Just walking in, bold as brass, taking the milk and walking out again with nary a piece of eye contact for us to, you know, sort this out. So I went to the studios.
I think he is.
I walked past the studios, and they were all in there, the Classic FM team, our nemesis.
Yeah.
Just sitting there, listening to classical music. They've got a cafetiere.
Yeah,
they've got proper sugar, little lumps of sugar.
Really?
And they've got our milk. And it was like upstairs, downstairs, you know? it was like an officer walking through the mess and helping himself to all the private supplies.
XFM.
Good morning, you're with the XFM Breakfast Show. My name's Danny Wallace, and we're very excited this morning, David.
Yes.
We're so excited, Martin from online has come in with his own camera. That's how excited we are, because David Tennant now joins us.
Oh,
David, how are you?
I'm very well indeed, it's a pleasure to be here.
I'm pleased, yeah. Where is it not a pleasure to be? Have you ever said that? You ever turned up somewhere?
Yeah, I mean, some of the radio stations really are pretty tedious. But
great, you can name names in this instance, that's absolutely fine.
We could, but within this building, you know, there are a lot of radio stations. I wouldn't want to make enemies before I leave.
Good for you. Well done. Very diplomatic. We would not expect anything less from you. We're here to talk about the pirates in an adventure with scientists.
Got that all right. Well done. Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah.
It's quite a difficult title, I'll be honest.
It's a mouthful, but that's part of the joy of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's like an old school Aardman animation, back to their kind of roots.
It's a proper animation with motion capture, actual models that move, which you never get nowadays. Even Bob the Builder nowadays is CGI. Did you know that?
I didn't know it was CGI.
Bob the Builder has gone computer graphics.
What's going on with these reboots?
That's a bad thing. Computer graphics are wonderful, beautiful, creative, extraordinary art form. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But there's something about the kind of the moving models.
You lose the magic, don't you? You lose the magic somehow.
You find a different sort of magic.
Yeah. David, would it surprise you to learn that Postman Pat's infant son is called Julian?
Yes, it would, actually.
It is a strange, isn't it?
It wouldn't entirely surprise me, though, because I can reveal on the XFM Breakfast Show that I do feature in Postman Pat the Motion Picture, which comes out next year.
You're kidding me.
I'm sorry,
what
I've
do you
seen
mean?
It now.
What do you mean?
It's not just Aardman who make incredible animated movies.
Well, I've heard about, Paddington's getting one at some point. I've heard about the Mr. Men. I did not understand that Postman Pat was getting his own.
It's in the works, yeah. We've recorded some of the voices already.
We're here to talk about the pirates, obviously,
yes,
but we want to talk... I mean, is there enough in Postman Pat?
I mean, I don't mean to move the agenda on too quickly.
But is there enough in the life of Postman Pat and his infant son, Julian?
We'll see. There's a whole there's an adventure that Pat is about to go on that's just simply too big for the small screen.
You're joking.
That might even be the tagline. It probably is now.
But tradition. Yeah, exactly. I'm prepared to go on record. They can use this for the poster. The greatest film of all time.
There
I want
go.
That on the top of the Postman Pat poster. Yeah. There's not a three-act structure in the life of Postman Pat. There's no Dark Knight of the Soul.
You wait and see.
All right. Well, in the pilot.
While you're waiting.
We can entertain ourselves with the latest work that David's been doing. Now, you play Charles Darwin.
I do,
in this. And we should say, you know, it's a great family film, but it's also something that adults can enjoy. There's levels of humour there.
I think that's why Aardman have become a national treasure, really, isn't it? Because they're kids' films, but everybody gets a proper laugh out of them.
Everyone can enjoy them. Yeah. And this will be another Christmas Day classic, I imagine. This will be played for years. Tell us about it. You're Charles Darwin. You're not a pirate.
The pirate captain and his band of reprobates are not particularly good pirates.
No.
They have all the trappings, the luscious beards and the cutlasses and all that, but they're not particularly good at it.
Yeah.
And the pirate captain gets it into his head that he really wants to win Pirate of the Year, which is, as you know...
It's one of the big... one of the Specsavers Celebrity Spectacle Wear of the Year, isn't
it? That's right.
Celebrity Mum of the Year, and then there's Pirate of the Year.
Rear of the Year, and then Pirate of the Year.
Yeah.
And he really wants to win it this year.
Yes.
So he goes all out and starts plundering every ship he comes across.
And you're obviously Hugh Grant.
Hugh Grant is the pirate captain.
Jeremy Piven, Imelda Staunton.
Jeremy Piven is one of the cool pirates who tends to win Pirate of the Year. Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
One of the pirate captain's rivals.
And this presumably is one of those things where you're on your own, you're acting on your own in a room, and they...
A bit. Sometimes Hugh was there one day with me, Martin Freeman was there one day with me, Imelda Staunton was there one day. So there's a bit of crossover, but basically you're on your own with another actor who comes in and manfully reads all the lines in for you.
Manfully does it?
He does it manfully, or if he's playing a woman, womanfully.
It's a new word on the XFM Breakfast Show. It's what we enjoy.
XFM.
This prize, this is a big, big prize. Up for grabs. Money can't buy access to Sir Paul McCartney and his Teenage Cancer Trust show at the Royal Albert Hall tomorrow evening. The Paul McCartney Experience includes tickets for whoever wins and nine of their mates, access to the sound check, a meet and greet with Sir Paul. Dave, my friend, you and nine of your mates are going to meet Paul tomorrow.
Oh, my God. This is some sort of dream come true. This can't be real.
It is real. It is real.
I'm shaking. This is amazing.
He was so good at that. He was brilliant. Give me your reaction to this. Tickets for you and nine of your friends.
Oh, I can't believe it. This is just the most amazing thing ever.
Access, Dave, to Sir Paul's sound check, which is like a little private gig in itself.
Oh, my God.
A meet and greet.
Oh, my God.
Between Sir Paul McCartney, nine of your mates, and you.
That sounds like the best thing ever.
XFM. Here's something. We don't normally check the Yeovil papers, do we?
Oh, no, we don't.
Here's a story from the local paper in Yeovil. Yeovil woman to help the One Show complete a 1,000-mile sport relief relay challenge. Now, a crime reduction officer from Yeovil has been chosen to run in this big challenge. Beth Poole, who's based at Yeovil Police Station, will be part of this 1,000-mile relay. She'll be running her mile in Bath on Saturday. Now, who do you think she's going to be dressed as?
Someone from Bath. Someone famous from Bath, perhaps?
Who
could that be? I'm not sure. Who is from Bath?
So she is she's dressing up as this person, and she's going to run dressed as this person.
She's not dressing up as you, is she?
She's dressing up as the author Danny Wallace.
Oh, brilliant.
I don't know what that entails.
What does that entail?
It's not like I've got a uniform. Do you know what I mean? It's basically, I imagine she's just going to pop a pair of specs on.
That's all she's going to do, innit?
She's going to pop a pair of specs on and
spike her hair up a bit.
There you go.
That'll be it.
It's the classic look, isn't it?
Yeah.
She's going to dress up as me and run.
That's weird.
It's unusual, certainly.
Can we see this on the One Show, then?
Well, I imagine...
I hope so.
Well, yeah, I mean, there'll
it's
be
reason
some...
to tune in, for once.
A crime reduction officer running as as me.
Yeah.
It's happened in the past a couple of times, like World Book Day. Kids that's going to schools are encouraged to dress as authors they like.
Oh, right,
that.
Yeah.
So it happens, but then it's just a kid, again, in glasses.
Yeah.
And because it's a kid, it ends up always looking like Harry Potter. But no, I'm very pleased about this. So my thanks and good luck to Beth Poole, the crime reduction officer from Yeovil, running as me. in a marathon. It's that's an odd sentence to say, isn't it?
We are the greatest goddamn radio station on the planet. XFM.
You're back with the XFM Breakfast Show. My name's Danny Wallace. Our guest this morning is the marvellous David Tennant.
Thank you.
The Pirates in an Adventure with Scientists opens tomorrow. And we've already talked briefly that after that, there's the whole, the Postman Pat, the movie.
Yes.
Which is absolutely happening.
Absolutely, yeah.
Will Julian be in it? Because I think his son should be called Eric or Paul. I think it's annoyed me since day one, since I discovered this. I don't mind the fact he's now got a helicopter because he's in the special delivery service.
Yeah.
I don't mind that Ajay is running the railway network, even though he seems vastly underqualified.
Yeah.
But it just seems to me that Julian Clifton, it means that Pat either has ideas above his station, you know, he's trying to better himself with a posh name for his son,
right,
or that he's henpecked and that Mrs. Clifton sees better things for him.
I think he just read a lot of Famous Five.
Do you think that's what it is?
Wanted to pass that down.
Could
be
the Downton Abbey generation, of course, having its effect. Who knows?
That's very aspirational, though, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, if you could just have a word, if it's not too late, that would be fantastic.
I think
fantastic.
He does feature in the film, Julian. Yeah.
Good.
I don't know who's playing him. Can't tell you.
Good. Well, I'm happy to do it. Listen, so that happens, and then what's after that? Is it a kind of a...
Oh, what's after that?
I'll tell you why. I'm going to tell you what's after that.
Oh, that's better, yeah.
Because here on the show, we like to look after our A-list guests quite a lot. We're very concerned about nurturing their careers and making sure they make the choices that are befitting of them as actors. Good. Well, we asked some of the listeners for pictures in today's Snap My Pitch Up.
Right.
So these are all our listeners' ideas for you. I'll give you a selection, and you can just say whether you're in or not.
Right,
talk to your agent. It's all fine.
Yeah.
David Tennant's Rabid Tenants. David rents out a small flat in Wapping to 16 wolves.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Why does it have to be Wapping? Is that a satire on Fleet Street?
It's up and coming. Oh, yes, it is. It's a satire on Fleet Street. That is what was meant by that.
Good.
Definitely.
Good.
With the rabbit
very
holes.
Very current. With the Levinson Inquiry, that's all very...
I think that's what they were going for. Yeah. I think you cracked the code there.
I'll do that.
Yeah,
I'll do the voiceover. I don't know if I want to be there every day, to be honest. It's a bit dangerous.
Well, okay, we can make it
but
on doc.
I'll do the commentary.
Yeah, great. Yeah. You still have to find that flat, though.
Yeah.
What about Tennant's Pedants? David Troll's internet forums. Should be fora, really. Pointing out people's minor spelling and grammar mistakes.
I would quite enjoy that. Actually.
You'd essentially be editor of the internet.
Yeah, I'd like that.
It would take a... This is a long-term project, David.
I'd like to prod a finger at idiots on the internet. I'd enjoy that.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man, imagine if you could say which sites in particular.
Ooh, what?
He's not going to. David, 10 antlers. David builds a collection of 10 sets of antlers, be they stolen from the castles of Scottish lairds, freshly hunted from Richmond Park, or simply picked up in flea markets in your own time. I don't really see this as a long, long-running series.
No, it's very daytime.
It's a half-hour special. Yeah,
I want to go prime time.
Okay, that's a no. We've also got David Tennant pays penance. We've got David's 10 ants where you follow... Oh, this is quite a touching one. This is Gareth. David follows 10 ants, all born at the same time, but from different ends of the colony, to see how different their lives are, okay? Yeah. Rich versus poor. It's like March of the Penguins, but a lot smaller.
You're looking at 10 episodes, aren't you? I would worry they wouldn't be different enough. I would worry that the life of an ant, no matter which end of the social spectrum it's born into, is sort of roughly the same.
It's very judgmental.
It is a bit judgmental, but you know, television is a harsh mistress, and you can't just assume that 10 ants will be interesting enough.
I was not expecting David to be this hard-hitting.
I think, at best, that's some kind of slightly shabby online series.
In your face, Gareth, from Hoddesdon.
Sorry,
and finally, Tenento. This is like Memento, but with a twist.
Uh-huh.
Twist is, it's backwards. So events happen in the order they actually happened. People will not know what hit them.
I don't even understand that one.
That's fine. You don't need to understand it. You just need to be in. David Tennant, are you in?
Yeah.
He's in, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us on the XFM Breakfast Show today.
I love a bit of XFM.
Good. I'm pleased to you.
Play some alternative rock.
All right. We will. Choose a track.
Oh, too much choice. Design for Life, Manic Street Preachers.
I would, but we are very heavily playlisted. Here's Kasabian. Good morning, good morning. 2 minutes past eight on a glorious day in London. Just getting more glorious. Hotter than Barcelona.
Yes, it certainly is today.
That's what's going to be.
And dare I say it, warmer than Ibiza.
Oh, no, look at him. Look, he's put his head in his hands straight after going, what have I done? You've opened a can of worms there with your crazy weather predictions.
We are
XFL. A strange thing that happened to you the other night. You were watching a film.
Yeah, with Hannah. Avatar. A great film, by the
sci-fi,
way.
Sci-fi, blue people.
It's brilliant.
Did you not watch it in 3D?
Didn't watch it in 3D, but it's a great film. Yeah, like you say, very futuristic.
Yeah.
Obviously, you're stepping into someone else's body.
Yeah. It's an alternate reality.
Right? Yeah, yeah, it's, yeah, I mean, yeah, it's quite unrealistic.
It's literally unbelievable film, isn't it?
Yeah, it's literally unbelievable.
Yeah.
But for the first half hour, I managed to convince Hannah that it was a true story.
Well, so not even based on a true story, just a true story. I did a similar thing. My dad is the most intelligent man I've ever met, right? He's just a super brain, but a little bit gullible at some points as well. And the same thing, we were watching Chicken Run one Christmas, and it got to the end, and I went, do you know the weird thing about this film? It's actually based on a true story. And he looked and he went, really? Yeah, a bunch of chickens got together and built a plane and flew it out of a farm, which was a lovely thing to do. Matthew, do you, have you ever...
Well, once on a road trip to Scotland with me and some friends, we drove past a field in the Borders.
I know it.
And I told my friend Richard that that was the field where they filmed Watership Down. And he believed us.
Wow.
For a good half hour.
That's a good one.
We are XFM.
Dexter Fletcher, everybody. Dexter,
yeah.
Your new film, Wild Bill, is out in cinemas tonight. It's great. An assured directorial debut.
Thank you very much.
And obviously, directing is now calling. Acting is always there for you.
Mm-hmm.
We at XFM, we worry about our guests. You know, we want to make sure they make the correct choices in life make choices befitting of them as actors or directors. So we are going to play Snap My Pitch Up.
Snap My Pitch Up.
So we've got some ideas for you, Dexter, that we've bashed together. Each of these are things that we would like to see you do. Matt, why don't you begin?
Okay, Dexter Fletcher's Dextro Stretcher.
That's nice.
The actor and director goes around the world's famous marathon sites offering first aid and energy-boosting tablets of corn sugar to help the runners finish.
That's nice. It's kind of a public service as well.
Okay.
You up for that?
Am I up for that?
Yeah.
Is this a TV show?
Yes, it's a reality TV.
Sort of like The Amazing Race, but purely Dexter Fletcher.
Okay, yeah, CBS are interested.
Cool. Are they? Okay, so I'm looking to direct, or do I have to just be in it and you just follow me around
the world with a stretcher and loads of dextrose tablets and hand them out?
Okay, now, do I have to carry the stretcher on my own, or would I have somebody help me with the other end of the stretcher?
To you, I suppose.
We've got to think it through a bit.
Details. When you say CBS, you are referring to the Croatian Broadcasting Service.
Yes.
Yeah, we should clear that up just before you.
So some burly Croatians can be carrying the stretcher.
Very interesting.
And I could have the dextrose.
Yeah,
I'm vaguely interested. I'm not mad about it. Give me something different.
All right, it's a maybe. Work experience, Steve. Program associate, Steve. What have you got for Dexter Fletcher?
Okay, mine's a bit more simple.
Okay. Makes sense.
Yeah, I'm getting that already. Just by looking at you, mate.
Dexter Fletcher.
Oh, Dexter Fletcher. Okay.
Yeah. Dexter Fletcher starts a taxi firm in East London and then collects people as and when they need collecting.
Like a taxi firm would. Can you just explain what a taxi firm is?
Yeah, but this is strictly a radio vehicle.
This is just on the radio. Okay. Broadcast radio or just sort of walkie-talkie CBs over the taxi system?
Well, we can discuss that.
All right, fine.
This just sounds to me like a good business idea. It's actually a TV show or a radio show. I think I might just start that anyway, get a bunch of mates together and hand some cards out.
Dave, have you got one? Producer Dave, what's yours?
I have, yes. What about Dexter's Sexters?
Ooh,
Dexter Fletcher investigates the raunchy and slightly seedier side of sexting, analysing which of the many advances...
Sexting. Yes. Like texting, but sexting.
That's right.
Sexy texting.
Analysing which of the many advances he would respond to on his Nokia 3210. I see Lisa Snowden providing the female voice.
Ooh.
Maybe a late night reality show, and we could maybe bring back Bravo for it. I'm not too sure yet.
Yeah. I think it is probably late night. It's not BBC One after Bargain Hunt, is it?
No.
Dexter Fletcher, sexy texting.
Yeah, I don't know. We didn't keep that clean enough for that. That's good. I'm not sure if this is something that you'd like to be doing rather than something I should be doing.
It's a good point, well made.
It's what's coming from the darker recesses of your mind.
Yes.
Dave's sexting doesn't work.
It doesn't, no. Dexter's fundamentally misunderstood the title-based nature of this feature. I've got the Fletcher Retcher. Dexter Fletcher hidden camera prank show. Dexter Fletcher surprises people by jumping out of bushes and forcing his fists into their mouths, causing an involuntary gag reflex. Airline pilots, men in cherry pickers, brides halfway down the aisle. No one is safe from Dexter's impish sense of humour, nor his vomit-inducing fists.
Do I have to use my
fists? This is BBC Three.
They're
all over this shizzle.
You sure that's not BBC Four, actually? More of an artistic...
Yeah, it could be. We'll shoot it in black and white. right?
Yeah. Good.
Set it in Denmark.
I have to use my fist as well.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Something that's like a sponge on the end of a stick.
Listen, it's up to you. These are details, Dexter.
Okay,
it's the fundamental format is what we're after.
I'm up for that.
He's in!
That's
yeah.
it.
He's in!
The Danny Wallace version. That's
the
good.
Fletcher Retcher coming Fletcher to BBC 4, set in Copenhagen, I imagine, with subtitles very soon. More importantly, Wild Bill opens tonight in cinemas up and down the country. Dexter Fletcher, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
We are XFM.
Cheers.
XFM. I'll tell you what. What a reaction. Not just Dave's reaction at winning that incredible prize, but the reaction of the listeners to Dave has been extraordinary.
Lots of love.
This is why we're such a great community here on this breakfast show. Sue says, good news, guys. We all love confirmed listener Dave.
Yeah.
Demelzer and Carl Schulten says, how lovely is Dave? He brought a tear to my eye. Confirmed listener Dave, what a winner. Amy in Epsom, she's crying in her car. Ken's never heard anything like it before. Other people, happy for Dave, to be fair. He sounds like a great guy. Someone else, little Jason. I think Dave might be my favourite winner of all time. Rob says, really chuffed for Dave. Although I am a bit concerned. He doesn't have 9 mates, though. That's bringing it down a bit at the end. X. FM. Goodness me, Matthew Dyson.
Ooh.
Oh.
It's nearly crashed the system again.
An unbelievable response. I mean, I don't know whether that means that you all have a very impish sense of humour, or whether you're very cruel to your friends and loved ones. But it's marvellous, the kind of things we've asked you this morning about your gullible stories, things you've told people, not things you've fallen for, but things that you have told people that they have then believed and gone on in their lives throughout society believing. Matt, kick this off.
Confirmed listener Chicken Rap told his friends Tim and Laura. That's a strange name.
Was not expecting that.
Apparently that is his name.
Okay.
Told his friends Tim and Laura last week that Adrian Childs was the little boy from Mary Poppins. That one's still going on now, apparently.
I love that.
And Laura may be listening.
Yeah. They've shattered their dreams. Confirmed listener Ollie says, I once convinced my old school friend that he was a test tube baby. To the point where he even approached his parents about it. Oh, am I from a test tube? I don't know how old he was at the time, but that is extraordinary. It was all the rage when I was a kid, the test tube baby stories. Go on, Matt.
Ursula once convinced a friend that Cocoa Pops were burnt Rice Krispies, while Kim once convinced a friend that she wouldn't eat cream eggs as they weren't free range.
Well, that's nice. Zoe says, I once convinced my friend that I was songwriting with Lily Allen. This went on for about a week with them asking, what was I up to? How's it going? What's she like? I was 15. So that's good. That's good. That could have happened. You never know. Morning, Danny. Until recently, my wife thought reindeer were mythical creatures akin to dragons and unicorns. That is, until I pointed to a field of reindeer next to the M6. It took me 20 minutes to convince her I was not pulling her legs. Says Stu. Excellent work.
Here's some good alliteration in this one. Oh. Billy in Battersea told a friend that Benjamin Button was based on a real story.
Wow.
She just nodded strongly in agreement as we watched the film together.
Really?
Yeah. Ridiculous.
What about a confirmed listener? Winsome, what is yours?
We told a friend that bananas contain such a high level of potassium that if you submerged them in water, they would explode.
Such a high level of potassium that bananas explode in water. I love that. They're like sticks of dynamite in a cartoon or something. I enjoyed that, Winston. What else you got?
We also told a friend that the Dome of St Paul's had been converted into a £10 million flat, and she asked for a viewing of it.
That's nice. That's nice. When I was 10, I convinced my 8-year-old sister that she was born in the local mental institution. Oh, she went straight to our mother, and I got the wooden spoon. The wooden spoon? How old are you? This must be our oldest listener ever. I got the wooden spoon. Matt.
Gareth once convinced an ex-girlfriend that Sting wrote "I'll Be Watching You" in remembrance of Biggie Smalls. Doesn't really make sense time-wise.
Yeah. Marie and Harrow just says, my dad's mate was going to Murcia in Spain, so I told them they don't use the euro there, that within the city walls, brackets, I don't even think it has city walls, close brackets, it uses the Murcia pound. He believed me, and he hot-footed it to the bank to get his money changed up. The buffoon. And what about confirmed listener James? What is yours?
I was on cricket tour with my mate Buttons in Barbados, and when he came back to the pool, I convinced him that he just missed a cat swimming lengths.
The greatest one of all time. You just missed him as a cat doing lengths.
Oh,
poor Buttons. Buttons in Barbados. Today's show has been brought to you by the letter B.
Yeah.
That's unusual. We are X.
XFM.
We're going to play Quizface. You should know the rules by now, do you?
I'm aware of the rules.
He's across them. Then let's get quizzical.
Quizface.
Well, Craig, as you know, it's a big year for London, big year for the UK. Our heritage, proud and noble as it is, can only grow as we grow, Craig, as a nation. Soon we will watch our Olympic heroes triumph in the very country that nurtured their souls and fed their ambition since birth. And all overlooked by our fearless leader in her Diamond-eek Jubilee year. Craig, if you're ready, let's play
Quiz Queen
using her quiz fists.
Quiz fists.
That's right, Craig. It's Quiz Liz. So, how did she do it? Born in 1903 to humble parents, Pat and Edna von Windsor, the rise of Queen Elizabeth II is a modern-day success story and a triumph for feminism in what history shows us was a very male-driven world. That's right. No more. Not anymore, Craig. Henry VIII, King Charles, Prince Harry. Notice anything, Craig? Yeah. They're all men and they're all driven. So how did Queen Elizabeth 30 get to the very top? That's right. Lizington, as we know her, got where she is today by never taking no for an answer, by simply believing she could do it, and by waiting for the king to pass so that she could take over the family business. And now, Craig, now this woman, this proud and noble woman, our leader, well, she's your boss. Oh. Oh, but Craig, you still there, Craig?
I'm still here, still listening.
Excellent work. Craig, look up, the Queen. The Queen has risen. Cameron and his cronies have activated her. See how she rises from her slumber. See how she rises from the seas. The seas of Wessex. Oh.
I am the Queen.
Very good, Matt. That's not bad at all. She's huge, Craig. She's huge. Now she's stooping down. She's stooping down to talk to you.
I'm excited.
Oh, her breath. Her breath, Craig. She reaches for you. Craig, she's cupping you in her massive hands. What are you going to do, Craig?
Good.
You should know the drill. Craig, king, queen, or ace of spades? Simple question, king, queen, or ace of spades?
It's got to be the ace of spades.
Saying ace of spades. Good work. Good work, Craig. But it is irrelevant because the Queen has plans for you.
I'm going to take you back to my nest and use you as a knick-knack.
No! Not a knick-knack. Her wings, they unfold. The Queen's wings have opened. She's taking flight. Oh, it's so beautiful, Craig. What a thing to see the Queen fly. Her scales glinting in the summer sun, and sort of her her talons, sort of quite Danny. sharp as the teeth in her mouth, or her talons.
Dan,
they move side to side, the talons, because it makes chewing herbs and grasses more practical.
I'm not sure you mean the Queen.
She's got no opposable thumbs, the Queen, but she can use sort of rudimentary tools.
Sounds more like you're talking like about an eagle or something, or like a sea monster of yore. No. Mm. Doesn't sound like you're talking about the Queen anymore. I mean, right. Queens do have opposable thumbs
now.
No,
I'm not sure that's true.
Yeah, it's on Wikipedia.
Right, well, what do I mean?
I'm not really sure.
What are those, what are those things? You know, what are the things with the talons?
Eagles?
Yeah, I think I mean one of them, don't I? Yeah, that's what I mean. No, you're correct. Well, we've got to come up with a way of winning them, because all that was irrelevant. And, you know... It's embarrassing.
Well, Corley, you might as well just complete this sentence then. We are...
XFM.
He's done it! Craig! Well done, my friends. I meant an eagle.
Oh.
I meant an eagle. I feel such a ninny hammer. Don't I? What a nit.
Yeah.
What an absolute nit.
These things happen.
They do happen, Craig. Thank you for your understanding on this occasion.
We are...
Hey, shall we do the good news in the studio, Matthew Dyson?
Yes.
I would say we should. And I would say we should start with you.
Good news, guys.
Yes.
I went to get my hair cut upon Baby Dave's recommendation yesterday.
Right. Yeah.
I arrived in a hidden corner of Covent Garden at some cartoon-like Dali-esque pink and sky blue building.
That's so Dave.
Covered in little multicoloured butterflies. It looked like a sort of some sort of cupcake bakery. Where people actually take in pictures from magazines asking for a haircut like that. I asked myself, how did Dave, the no-nonsense Man City fan from Stockport, spit and sawdust barber regular, stumble across this Uber camp salon? Yeah. I think I might just pop in there for a short back and sides. It was very good value for money, though. So well done, Dave, and kudos to you for your open-minded approach to hairdressing.
Well done, well done. Good news. Good news, guys. Yesterday's interview with former Doctor Who David Tennant seems to want us a new legion of fans from the world of David Tennant. After our interview, available on the Facebook page, was devoured by his fans, hungry for new information. Hopefully they will be happy with our exclusive that he's somehow involved in a new Postman Pat film. My website was inundated with questions from Tennant peddlers. Well, Gels, you got to hold his hand, said one, referring to a photograph of myself and the great man awkwardly holding hands and looking forlornly into the camera. Did you ask him anything about the 2007 episode Daleks in Manhattan, asked another, to which I replied, of course I didn't. The good news is, if they become anything like as obsessive about this show as they have about Doctor Who, then I reckon this is one host of the XFM Breakfast Show who's in for the long haul, because I can't see anything changing so long... Oh, hang on. What's happening? What's happened? My tiny hands! I'm going all Billericay! I'm regenerating!
I'm work experience Steve, and I'm the new host of the XFM Breakfast Show with Steve Ferdinando. Here's ABBA.
No! Not really.
We are the greatest goddamn radio station on the planet.
David went across town to proofread a leaflet. And I mean, this sounds odd already, doesn't it? It happened when he was drunk. He gregariously replied to a marketing email and saying, yes, I'm good at proofreading. I will come there for £30. Mm-hmm. And then it got strange, didn't it? It turned into almost like a social experiment because you started to realise that you'd be sitting in a room proofreading a leaflet while being observed by one person.
Yeah, and then asked questions of the leaflets.
What happened?
Well, I can't say too much because it's a confidential leaflet, so I can't actually go into too much detail.
What kind of leaflet is confidential?
Well, it's not been released yet.
There's no such thing. Being confidential goes against everything a leaflet is supposed to provide information.
Once it's released, it's
Why would they make a confidential leaflet?
Yeah.
It's like spies kind of going, where's the secret mission happening? Well, I've done you a pamphlet. It's available in the library. Why would they do that? Why is it a confidential leaflet?
Very close to the truth,
don't
you? Careful.
So there's a confidential leaflet, and they drafted in just a complete stranger, just a guy from an email, you, to read this confidential leaflet.
That's right.
And then a lady or a man?
It was a lady, watched me read the leaflets. It took me about 4 minutes, which she said was a little bit faster than a lot of other people were reading the leaflets. So
4 minutes to read a leaflet?
Pretty proud of myself for that.
Is it quite condensed text? It's quite a small font.
It's quite a small font. Then I spotted a spelling mistake, which no one else had spotted.
Which was what?
Which was an A, where it didn't need to be an A.
Oh.
Yeah, so I was, once again, very happy with myself with that.
You seem very happy with yourself this morning.
And then I got asked questions on the leaflet.
Yeah, and, I mean, this is an odd thing to do, Dave.
Yeah.
And then work experience Steve did it after you.
Yeah.
And did he spot the A?
I don't know, I've not chatted to Steve about the proofreading
yet. We need to talk about it. This is one of the weirdest things ever, and you're treating it completely normally. You went and read a confidential leaflet. A woman watched you read a confidential leaflet.
Yeah, in her house. I had to go to her house.
Really?
In her
house?
You went to a woman's house?
Yeah. And she gave you an envelope with cash in it?
Well, no, it'll go into my bank.
Oh,
by the
she's got your bank details.
It's all about.
There's the rub.
Oh, someone went to a stranger's house and gave them your bank details.
I've just realised that I never got her name.
You went to a stranger's house, gave them your bank details.
And the leaf.
And then left.
When you say it like that.
And then she said, don't tell anyone about this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, that's why it's confidential. Oh my God, this is the latest scam, isn't it?
Yeah. Proofreading.
I fell for one of those proofreading scams. What's that? You go around the house, they watch you read a leaflet, and then you give them your bank details. Oh, what an extraordinary life you lead.
We are XFM.
Well, Matt, I mean, the big story.
Yeah.
Big story, as you reported in your news thing there. I looked up for one second. I heard James Cameron, director James Cameron, talking about his reconnaissance mission
in
the Pacific.
He's gone down deep, hasn't he?
Went down deep, didn't he? Ever so deep.
7 miles.
It's a big place, the ocean, isn't it?
Yeah.
But he was there to answer one question in particular, wasn't he? What was
science
that?
Can't answer one very basic question. You know, are there fish?
Seems an unusual thing for him to say. Science can't answer one basic plate again.
Science can't answer one very basic question. You know, are there fish?
Are there fish?
Yeah.
Are there fish?
83936, if you've seen a fish, we can answer this on the air, I think. You know, it was kind of it's a call to arms, isn't it, from the noted director?
Yeah.
It takes the
XFM
breakfast
show. Him a lot of money.
He could have gone to Iceland. Yeah. And by that, I mean the supermarket.
Yeah.
To
exactly.
Work that out and save himself some money.
XFM.
So you remember, a couple of days ago, a crime prevention officer from Yeovil dressed up as me.
Yes.
And ran a mile for charity.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's a good thing to have done.
Yeah.
I'm happy with that.
Yeah.
This is the flip side of this job. Okay, you don't just get, you know, people doing nice things. You also get... I don't know how to... Yesterday, I received a tweet, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Tweet from a confirmed listener. Let's just drop the music, because this is... Listen to this. Attached to it was a video file of a 3-year-old boy... called Tristan, who had this to say.
Go.
Knock.
Who's there?
Danny Wallace.
Danny Wallace who?
Danny Wallace Bottom.
Okay, you're pretty well. Yeah, exactly. Quite a clever joke, okay? Knock, knock. Who's there? Danny Wallace. Danny Wallace who? Danny Wallace Bottoms. Okay? Leads you one way, sets itself up as a traditional sort of joke, doesn't it? Brings about a certain level of expectation. You think you know where you are with it, then boom. Punchline shatters a well-established knock-knock convention.
This guy's got a big future.
You're listening to it, you go, it's like Harry Hill or something. You know, you're there, you're, what's happening? Who am I? Everything I know is wrong, you know? But does not change the fact that I've been smacked down by a 3-year-old named Tristan over the internet. Can we hear the joke again? Can we hear him again? This is
go,
it.
Go.
Knock.
Who's there?
Danny Wallace.
Danny Wallace who?
Danny Wallace
Bottoms. Danny Wallace Bottoms, yeah. Just to let you know, that's trolling, isn't it? Yeah, it's bullying, and it's unacceptable.
Yeah,
see that, as is company policy, I've forwarded your video to Andy Ashton and Richard Park here at Global. Let's just see what comes of it, you know. As for your mother, yeah, the woman who recorded this, to me, she is simply one of those mothers you read about in the Daily Mail, isn't she? You know, her Twitter profile pic even shows her necking a glass of wine. That'll be on the front page.
Yeah. She was goading this young troll.
She was goading him on, you know? I wonder where she was the night of the riots, you know? Oh, look. Oh, you got a new fridge freezer. Where did that come from? Start asking questions, Tristan. You're going to learn a thing or two about that woman. She even said, this is my son's best Danny Wallace joke. How many has he got? Why am I such a figure of fun in this 3-year-old household? So, you know, back at you. Knock, knock, who's there? Tristan Bottoms.
Oh.
So there. And my dad's a spaceman. Take that. I can't believe. Oh, man. Oh, what a lovely joke, though. What a great thing to have happened.
Yeah.
I want to hear the rest of them.
You what? I thought you were going to say, I want to get him arrested. That's taking it too far.
Yeah.
Okay, that's taking it too far. Yeah, let's hear some more. Let's hear some more 3-year-old jokes at my expense.
We are XFM.
Weather.
Well. Not a cloud in the sky this morning after the glorious weekend of sunshine. Nothing can stop this sweet summer feeling.
Mm.
It's going to be warmer than Barcelona today. In your face, Spain.
Wow.
Hotter than Nice.
Gosh.
Nice try, France. Hotter than Mallorca, even. We rock London today with a high of 19. Life is just great. I mean, I feel in love with the weather.
Dice-ageddon!
Yeah, we'll see about that, Matt.
XFM.
Shall we get a little bit angry and a little bit nerdy in our feature? Angry Nerds. Your chance to... spout out loud about the very specific things that get your goat. You know, could be IT based, could be anything really. Matt, I wonder if we looked into your brain and I looked up the file Angry Nerd, what'd I get this morning?
Not responding. PC and laptop. Not responding, says your little message in brackets. If you're frozen or on the verge of a crash, how come you've summoned up enough energy to tell me that you're not responding?
Yeah.
You're like a sulky lover. Refusing to talk to me because I've had the audacity to click on a few different things at once. Respond to this, you little harlot. Control, Alt, Delete.
Yeah, you little technical minx.
Yeah.
What's going on there? Dave, have you got one?
I don't know. You're mixing up the. He's mixing up the genres.
Yes. Hey, radio producers.
Yes. I'm having £5 for that as well.
Yeah. Can we have a 5-minute producer ban? Well, right. Dave, what is yours?
Hey, recently engaged friend on Facebook. I get it, and I got it from your first 3 status updates. You're engaged. Yeah. Well done. You then don't need to crowbar this update into every status for the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, you're a status crowbarer.
Yeah.
Hey, people who mark their emails urgent when they are in no way urgent. Why are you marking your emails urgent? They're not urgent. If these emails are, in your opinion, urgent, you need to radically reassess your life. There's something lacking in your life. Also, why do you assume my life is so lacking that I will immediately agree that they are urgent? Huh? You're either insulting me or fundamentally misunderstanding the use of the word urgent. Yeah, you get one, don't you? Urgent. You read it. Tony Graham is leaving next Friday. We're doing a whip round Thursday afternoon and signing the card. It's not urgent, is it? A nuclear strike, that's urgent. We've got 10 days till Tony Graham leaves. Not even Tony Graham is concerned. Leave the double exclams and the red font alone. And while you're at it, look up the word urgent.
We are the greatest goddamn radio station on the planet. XFM.
Here is an unusual story, Matthew. Mm. Just noticed it. A local politician claims he was abducted by extraterrestrials as a child, and that his real mother is a 9-foot-tall alien with 8 fingers.
Whoa!
It's a bold claim. It's an incredible introduction to... hello, I'm your local MP, wow. Just to let you know.
Is he UKIP?
He's not. He's a Labour politician.
Is he?
He speaks of his first encounter, which occurred while in the womb, and then tells of a being which appeared by his cot when he was 6 months old. I've got loads of memories from when I was 6 months old. This one would stand out, I imagine, because it was this... this giant with 2 green stick things like bean poles. And he continued, I thought, they're not mummy's hands. Mummy's hands are pink. And mummy's got thumbs. Amazing that he's already identifying thumbs at 6 months old. Yeah. Incredible. These beanpole things, these are green and pointed. And there's 4 of them. He can count as well.
What?
He can count at 6 months old. I was looking straight into its face, he says. It enters my mind through my eyes and it sends a message down my optic nerve into my brain saying, I am your real mother. I am your more important mother. Wow, this guy's poor human mother, biological mother, must be, he found out.
Yeah.
The 52, yeah, what's her role in all this?
Yeah, what did
surely she'd know, she's playing along with the aliens. The 52-year-old described the extraterrestrials having human features with a kite-shaped face. Well, I'll stop you there. I haven't met many humans with features like, it's not like you're down the pub and you go, you know Billy? Yeah. Who's Billy? You know Billy with a kite-shaped face. Oh yeah, Billy kite-shaped, kite Billy we call him.
Yeah.
Huge eyes, 2 tiny holes for a nose and a thin mouth. He said, look, it's a personal matter. It doesn't affect my work. He says, I'm more interested in fixing someone's leaking roof or potholes. People don't want me to talk about aliens. Yes, they do.
I want to hear more.
Yes, they do. He says, I get more common sense out of the aliens than out of Scarborough Town Hall.
Oh!
Boom in your face, Scarborough Town Hall.
He's still an MP, a working MP,
yeah,
this guy.
He's made Scarborough Town Hall look silly with that put down, hasn't he? he's shown them, hasn't he? They're the ones that come out badly in this story.
Yeah, is that what the whole point of the story was? Just to slag off Scarborough Town Hall.
It's basically a really long anecdote to get a dig in at Scarborough Town Hall. I sense this may backfire on you, sir. We're going to do something, well, exciting now, Dave, aren't we? Because we're going to do Guess Who. Guess Who! Now, who have we talked about, Matt? Who have we talked about? We talked about the film director, James Cameron. It's not him, is it?
No, it's not him. No, we've talked about Kazakhstan again.
Kazakhstan, we talked about...
Could be someone from
Kazakhstan, the embassy, perhaps, possibly. Yeah, something like that. We have no idea, but you're going to help me with your journalistic nous, yeah?
Okay.
All right, Dave, 60 seconds from now. Caller, are you there?
Hello.
Hello, it's a girl, it's a girl.
Female caller.
It's a female caller. Hello, how are you? Have we met?
No.
We have never met. Are you a celebrity of some kind?
No.
Are you involved in a survey?
No.
Have you any connections with Kazakhstan or the film director James Cameron?
No.
No. Are you in London?
No.
Are you in England?
Yeah.
North England?
No.
I know, hang on, I think something's just come to me, I think I know.
Not the North.
No, but I think I know who it might be.
Oh.
Is this a story we talked about that may have taken place over the weekend?
Possibly.
Possibly, or yes, or no.
Quick.
Well,
are you involved, did you run a marathon dressed as me?
Well, not a marathon.
Yeah, it's you. Ah, hello. How are you?
The mile.
The mile. Exactly, the mile. Beth. Yeah, Beth Poole.
That's right. Yeah. That's
hello,
right.
Beth. How are you?
I'm good, Danny.
Crime reduction officer. Was that it? Crime reduction officer in Yeovil.
That's right, yeah.
There you go. Beth, just to explain for anyone who may not have picked up from these strange clues or may not have heard us talk about it last week, tell us what the story is.
Well, basically, a few weeks ago, the BBC One show put out an appeal for viewers to apply to take part in their 1,000 show challenge.
Sometimes they just put out an appeal for viewers.
Yeah.
Get me.
That is true. But yeah, basically, I said yes because I live a bit like the yes man.
Ah, and, there you go.
And lo and behold, hey presto, I got selected.
You were selected to run in this mile, but what did you decide to run as?
I decided, perhaps a little weirdly, to run as you, Danny.
Yeah, exactly. So you ran a mile dressed up as me.
That's right.
And how did this strong, bold look manifest itself? I imagine spectacles were involved.
There were definitely a pair of spectacles. I did try to get some children's spectacles, as you did have that sort of experience in the book.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Time fell short. I donned some spectacles. I had a baseball cap with yes emblazoned on it.
Yeah, okay. Oh, yeah, the full-on Wallace, the full-on Wallace look.
Yes, and I had the Yes Man T-shirt.
Very
a
nice.
That said just say no, but you know, crossed through.
Very good.
Nice.
Yeah, so proper running as a yes man. Did anyone pick up on the reference whatsoever?
Well,
no, that's a no.
How can I be tactful about this? There were a few people, to be honest, when I said Danny Wallace, they sort of said, who?
All right, cut her off. Cut her off. She's gone rude, Dave. She's gone rude. We are. XFL. Look at the papers, Matt.
Yes.
Lazy. That's the word that comes out. There's a gel. Been developed a new gel. Imagine that, a new gel. People are still developing gels.
Wow,
we've got enough gels now. Yeah. Like everything's a gel.
Yeah,
it's a gel that halts shaving. You can just whack it on, and you'll never grow a beard.
It just stunts the growth of your hair follicles.
Ladies have these gels, don't they? You see adverts for these gels, but now there's one of maximum strength.
Oh, I thought they were like Imac ones that just cut the hair. I didn't know they stopped the hair.
A gel that prevents hair growth could put an end to shaving. Being tested
could
by
you
scientists.
Put this on your head as well?
If you wanted to,
to the barbers again.
So you would rather you would rather be entirely naked of hair than ever have to go to the barbers. No, you only go to the barbers about once every 6 months. But you're going, why bother? Why waste valuable time?
I'm going today, actually.
Are you?
Yeah.
Are you going to your normal place?
No, I'm going to his Hair by Fairy, I think, yeah.
Why?
Good choice.
What was the
good
place choice. You used to go to?
The director's cut.
That's it.
Yeah, in Ewing, yeah.
The director's cut, and you've gone for Hair by Fairy now.
Yeah.
And is Fairy the name of the person who cuts your hair?
No, it's not. Well, it might be. I'm not too sure.
Why is it called that?
Well, isn't there all fairies in their own way? And they'll all cut the hair.
I think, yeah. But what do you mean? You don't mean what I think you just said you sounded like you meant.
No. I mean that they all call themselves.
I see, good.
Hair by Fairy, because the place is called Hair by Fairy.
Okay, good. Because for a second it came across as like you're going on a mad rant, Daily Mail style rant.
Definitely not.
They're all like that. That's what it sounded like you were saying. But just to be clear, he was not saying that. That's the first story about a gel that halts shaving. Here's another lazy story. There's the world's first stair lift for overweight dogs. There's a warning about obesity in dogs, which has seen the design of the world's first dog stair lift. Now, according to a shock report, one in three dogs in the United Kingdom are now obese. Just give you a moment there to get over that shock.
Disgraceful.
So a device that can transport portly pooches upstairs has been unveiled. And I think it's one of those things where someone came up with the name first, because it's called Stare of the Dog.
Right, yeah.
Stare of the Dog. It's been in development for a while. It's got a number of high-tech modifications that make it dog-friendly, as well as a comfy basket for pets to sit in. It features an electronic retractable platform for the dog, activated by a paw recognition button. Why would that be necessary? Is that a problem with identity?
Well, yeah,
is there a problem with identity theft?
Yeah.
In the canine world? Is it like you get your stair lift and then there's a poodle sat there and it's like, well, The paw seems to check out, sir. I don't think that's a big problem in the dog world. Not one that needed solving. We are... Matt, you had a bit of a strange experience just moments ago involving an A-list star.
Yes, I nearly almost led Alicia Dixon into our studio.
Yeah.
By accident.
She's not booked, she's not coming in on the show, there's nothing happening there. You were just walking down a corridor.
Yeah, in front
And it's
of
almost
her.
Like Dixon got caught in your orbit.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like that's a planet.
Pretty much, yeah. Her and her entourage just suddenly started following me as I came into the studio. It's like, no, I don't think you're meant to be.
Because I don't know what we'd have done. Often we have guests in the studio, people who come in. I would have just have assumed that Alicia Dixon was surprising us, and I would have started an interview with her.
It could have worked.
It could have worked for us. You should go out there, see what else you can pull into your orbit. It'd be amazing. Programme Associate Steve is here as well. I'll tell you for why. I found out an interesting fact about you just moments ago.
Right.
Now, Dave, just to recap, Dave drunkenly responded to an email Friday gone. Yeah. From a marketing company saying, we've got a leaflet that needs proofreading. For some reason, Dave went, this is my new calling in life. They offered him £30. He ended up going, it turns out, to some random woman's house.
Yes.
And you had to give her your bank details.
Yeah.
After she sat down and watched you read a leaflet for 40 minutes.
That's right. And then she quizzed me on the leaflet.
She quizzed you on the leaflet.
Yeah.
Now, Steve, you also signed up to this. You went to proofread a leaflet in a stranger's house.
She gave me cash.
This is sounding more and more like one of those scams, Dave. You've really fallen on foul times. But Dave, you were very boastful because you had managed to spot a mistake in this leaflet.
Yes, I spotted a spelling mistake, which she said no one else had pointed out.
And it was an errant vowel. It was an A where there ought not to have been a vowel.
Yeah.
But Steve, it turns out, did you spot that A?
I did, but...
Yeah, but...
I did want to hurt her feelings. She'd obviously worked really hard on it.
You're supposed to be proofreading it.
That's your job. But she didn't actually say, are there any errant vowels?
What did you think? You thought you're there to proofread the leaflet?
No, because...
What do you think? That some woman is offering you £30 just to come round her house and read a leaflet? That is not a viable business model, Steve.
No, because she gave me a series of questions to help find things in the leaflet. And I was like, oh, I can find all this stuff. It's fine.
That's not a job. Proofreading means spotting mistakes and errors, you know, errors in syntax, grammar and spelling.
Yeah, but at the end she was smiling. She was like, oh, did you like it? Did you like it? Thoughts.
What a needy woman. She's written a leaflet and she's just getting strange men to come round and sit there for approval. Did you like my pamphlet? Dave won't tell us what the leaflet's about. Apparently it's confidential.
Yeah,
which, again, I think goes against the entire reason for having a leaflet. A leaflet you're not allowed to read. Are you allowed to say what it's about?
I'm not. No, no.
What is this leaflet?
They had to sign a waiver.
This is the strangest story I've ever... I mean, you walking in with Alicia Dixon in your orbit is one thing. These two traipsing off to some stranger's house to read a leaflet and then mysteriously keeping stum. What happened? Did she touch you? Why can't you talk about it? On this doll, show me where she touched you. We are XFM. Dave, that was a great guest too.
Thank you.
Beth Poole, Crime Reduction Officer in Yeovil, ran a mile dressed as me on Saturday.
She did.
It's a strange sentence to say, isn't it?
Yeah.
But it's strange for you as well, because when you do guest two, you ask me very nicely to leave the studio so that you can talk to whoever it might be and, you know, have a full and frank discussion. Full disclosure, very open, you know. But how did you start that conversation with Beth there?
Well, Beth's was possibly a more normal one than we'd usually go for.
Right.
But I would start it off with kind of explaining how the feature works.
Yeah.
I'd get as much information as I could from her about what she did.
Yeah. Which you would say something along the lines of, hello, is that Beth? Did you recently dress as Danny and run a mile?
Yes.
That's a weird sentence, isn't it?
It's
weird sentence.
Odd. It's
but
odd.
Your life is full of strange sentences.
Yeah, with this feature it is.
With this feature, with this show, many ways. And so we got, Matt, you don't know about this, but we got Dave, because obviously when we do leave the studio, he's still, you know, he's got the mics up, he's recording and everything. So we got Dave to knock together just an example of a typical month or two here on the XFM Breakfast Show. This is Dave trying to explain features and find guests.
So what we do know is that you can predict the future with asparagus. Hi there, it's Dave here from XFM. Just wondering if you looked after Barry Chuckle. So how did you actually end up judging the best fence? Right, so it's Winston Churchill's earplugs. So is it when the asparagus hits the ground that that's when you can predict the future? Or, oh, so Snoop Dogg saw your Swede and then contacted you. Right, okay, so the whole opera is going to be based around Swindon or in Swindon. So how do you use the doggy do? Do you collect it and then you can catch the owners? Or, so this paint drying competition's gone global. So just so we know for tomorrow, was there actually a criteria in place to judge the best fence? No, it is specifically Bovington Tank Museum. How did you know that you could predict the future with asparagus? When did you first learn about it? No, Bovington Tank Museum. So, well, I mean, what does it feel like when the ghost actually gets into bed with you? Oh, so you get the businessmen to herd the sheep. Yeah, so the kind of questions that Danny might ask you tomorrow would be something along the lines of whether you designed the cat berets yourself. So do you use the dog mess as part of the DNA to then catch the owners? No, definitely. I mean, as a show, we're big fans of the M25 and we've shown a great interest in this tour already.
I've heard you say that to people. Oh, when you just catch a moment of Dave on the phone to someone. That's amazing. XFM. Good morning, how are you? It is 9:10 on what is turning out to be a glorious, lovely day in London. I hope it's lovely where you are. It's lovely in Leicester Square. So let us completely undermine that positive aspect by doing our £5 flat fee fines. Now this is an important scheme. Very important scheme. Chance for you to fine people £5 for whatever slight or misdemeanor they may be responsible for. It's kind of like a citizen's arrest, but more monetary. Just walk up to them, tap on the shoulder and go, I'm so sorry. That'll be £5. Yeah. And then they're duty bound to pay you. But what, I wonder, what will our £5 flat fee fines be for today? Matt.
Please, people who press the door open button on tube trains, they open automatically. You fools, it's not an overground train, you daft apus.
Oh, you ninny hammer. £5, please. Dave, your £5 flat fee fine.
Yes. Oi, over-enthusiastic party guest. It's not your party, you're not the host, and this isn't your iPod, it's my iPod, it's my music that you'll be listening to. Don't just go along and change it onto what you think everyone wants to hear.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm in control.
You're in control.
Playlist and everything.
Yeah. Hey, people who say, I'm like Marmite, or it's like Marmite, or he's like Marmite, and then say, you either love me or hate me. You either love it or hate it. You either love him or hate him. Why are you saying the second bit? We get it. You're like Marmite. You're not to everyone's taste, and sometimes you provoke a strong reaction. You don't need to say the second bit. We're capable of working it out. What do you think? We think, you mean, you know? I'm like Marmite. What, you're made entirely of yeast extract? We don't think that at all. He's like Marmite. Is he? He's tiny, black, and spreadable. Stop saying it, okay? Either love it or hate it. See if you can guess which. Hand it over, Fiverr face.
We are XFM.
Well, I wonder, Dave, if we were to sit down for just a moment, perhaps on two little leather chairs and face each other and think very seriously, just take a moment, just take very seriously all the lessons we've learned this morning, the wisdom that we've passed amongst ourselves, the philosophies that we've espoused. What would we have learned? I'll tell you what. You go first.
Well, we became a real bunch of daredevils today as Danny, Matt and myself all left the studio at the same time.
Crazy.
To undertake various chores, leaving the XFM Breakfast Show very much in the hands of the Foo Fighters and our somewhat temperamental technology system.
Absolutely.
Luckily for the show, we all came back and the song was still being played and we continued with listeners coming none the wiser to what just
happened. None the wiser, as if nothing had ever happened. Imagine if the doors had locked on us. Imagine that. Only 2 5-minute listener bans given out this morning. Well done, everyone. You're really improving. 1-2 confirmed listener Lauren at around 9:27, of course, taking up to 9:32 when she rejoined us. And confirmed listener Woody, who found himself incensed by something a caller to the show said, and actually banned himself for 5 minutes from 9:38, returning at 9:43. It's the first time a listener ban has been undertaken voluntarily and does show the calibre and honesty of listeners that we enjoy on this programme.
XFM.
Well, there you go. That was podcast number 35 from the XFM Breakfast Show with me, Danny Wallace. Where's the... Have we run out of milk again? Get me Forrest.
Yes, we are XFM.
Danny Wallace.